Welcome to The Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. Very excited about today's show. In the second half, we're going to have one of my heroes on. He's not even 18 years old yet, but I've been aware of him and interviewing him for the last couple of years. Alec Lors, the youngest person to go through Al Gore's climate training years ago. We'll hear about how that happened from Alec, who is ducking out of his classes to be with us to talk about the inconvenient lawsuit, how teenagers are taking on global warming by taking it to the courts, and they had a big day last week, the end of the last week. We're going to find out from Alec what happened as they take on industry giants who are saying that the teenager's case, he and about five other inconvenient youth, that their case is misguided, but that is not stopping these high schoolers from using the legal system to make their environmental demands, basically saying you are not doing your part to protect our future from the ravages of climate change, therefore we need to take action. And that's going to be a very exciting interview in about 20 minutes, but also just as excited to have Gabe Elsner on. I tried to get him on the show last week when we talked about this big story on how there is a war now underway against the wind industry, and Gabe was not available. He was in a meeting about this, but he is joining us here today in just a moment to talk about the UK Guardian story that first came out, and it was a result of work by Checks and Balances. Gabe is the co-director of the very important watchdog group Checks and Balances. They're talking about, just to remind you, the network of ultra-conservative groups that are ramping up the offensive on so many fronts to turn the American public against wind farms, renewable energy, and Barack Obama's energy agenda. They will stop at nothing, I decided. This is the lowest blow I could imagine, as low as it goes. And D.R. Tucker is also joining me to talk with Gabe, and thanks for being on the Green Front, both of you.
Yes, how are you doing?
Great. And Gabe, are you with us? Gabe Elsner? Checks and Balances.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
Okay, we're all together, and we are all eager to jump right in to find out. First of all, congratulations, Gabe, on the fabulous work at Checks and Balances. We're going to play a video audio clip in just a minute that shows just how aggressive you are. You're better than Mike Wallace was on 60 Minutes. You were like a hound dog. You wouldn't let that guy go. And we'll talk about exactly who that guy was and what he was trying to hide in just a moment. But first of all, again, how did this, how did you guys get a hold of this memo that really showed that it's as bad as we thought it was in terms of these conservative think tank groups really being in bed with the Koch brothers to try to destroy nothing less than the future of renewable energy in America, all for political reasons?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on your show, Betsy. I found American Tradition Institute documents from John Droz. He's a fellow at ATI that included a national disinformation campaign attacking wind energy and meeting materials for a national conference to discuss this plan and potentially launch a million-dollar campaign. And it's definitely part of a larger effort by the fossil fuel industry and their interests to use propaganda to attack clean energy across the country. And as you mentioned, it's interesting when people like Robert Bryce at the Manhattan Institute are asked questions about their ties to the fossil fuel lobby, they don't like to answer those questions.
They sure don't. And yet they're going to have to, because now that America's gotten wind of this, so to speak, I hope we won't let it go, because this is, you know, really about as dark and dirty and sinister as one can get. And we'll be talking with Alec Lors about just how, you know, much destroying renewable energy and sticking with a status quo fossil fuel energy supply is going to damn their future, not to mention future generations.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this deceptive PR campaign plan that was written by American Tradition Institute fellow John Droz has a bunch of subversive tactics. They actually lay them out, things like set up a dummy business and have a counterintelligence branch. And they even want to go to science fairs to steer students away from wind energy projects. So they will really stop at nothing to attack clean energy across the country. And this plan is, like I said, just part of a larger effort by fossil fuel interests to really stop the growth of clean energy.
Okay, is there any evidence linking William Koch to this outfit? Because William Koch was, as you know, the sort of the front man and the brother of Charles and David Koch. He was the front man here in Massachusetts to try to kill off the Cape Wind project. Is he involved in this in any capacity?
Yeah, William Koch funded the Alliance to Protect Nantucket Sound, which is the anti-wind group in Massachusetts, working to stop the Cape Wind project. And he's just one of the fossil fuel connected funders that we found for these local NIMBY, not in my backyard groups. The other that we found was Marita Noon, who's responded aggressively to our documents and the news coverage that we've generated around the documents we found. And her group is funded by New Mexico's oil and gas producers. So, you know, these documents detail for the first time that national groups funded by fossil fuel interests are working with these local NIMBY or anti-wind groups on the local level. And unfortunately, we haven't been able to find the funding sources of all of these local groups, but we do know that there are a few that have connections to fossil fuel interests.
And why is it that they're ramping up right now? Obviously, it's the election, but just how much, what are they planning based on what you've been able to obtain?
Well, this meeting happened in February at a really critical time for wind energy advocates. The wind energy tax breaks are set to expire at the end of the year, and some estimate that those tax breaks expiring could cost up to 75,000 U.S. wind jobs in the U.S. And it's, you know, it's a really critical time for people that support clean energy across the country, because not only are wind energy tax breaks coming under attack, but with the growth of renewable energy, we're seeing that fossil fuel interests are, you know, escalating their attacks across the country in a few ways. First, we have lawsuits that are happening on the state level to overturn renewable energy standards. You have the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is pushing sample legislation to stop renewable energy standards. And then finally, you have groups like Americans for Prosperity, funded by the Koch brothers, that are, you know, mobilizing people to make calls into Congress, you know, saying that we should not invest in clean energy anymore.
And we're all too familiar with the Koch brothers, or we certainly will be after Robert Greenwald's film comes out. I can't wait to see that. But who is Robert Bryce, and what got you to corner him last week? And we'll play the clip in just a moment as soon as you set it up for us.
Robert Bryce is one of the top clean energy deniers in the country. He's a fellow at the Manhattan Institute, which is one of these fossil fuel-funded groups that is working to stop clean energy. And they're spreading disinformation about clean energy across the country through folks like Robert Bryce. And what's interesting is that when you ask people like Robert Bryce about their ties to fossil fuel interests, they don't like to talk about it, because the value that they give to their funders is that they pretend to be free market think tanks or ideologues or libertarians, but they routinely ignore the subsidies that we give to fossil fuels and instead focus their attacks on clean energy.
And while they continue to attack, you know, this, you know, burgeoning, you know, renewable energy sector, wind and solar, it's unbelievable. Let's listen to your encounter with Mr. Bryce.
Thanks a lot.
Hi, Mr. Bryce.
Hi.
Gabe Elsner.
Yeah,
just had a quick question.
Sure.
Do you receive direct or indirect support from the fossil fuel industry?
Manhattan Institute, as if you look at the story that was, am I being recorded here?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm a watchdog.
With who?
With Checks and Balances Project.
Oh, yeah. I know you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you read the New York Times story, which responded directly to your attacks on me, all the information's in there.
Right. So do you receive direct or indirect support from the fossil
fuel industry?
It's a yes or no question.
Okay, well, look, you guys have attacked me personally, and for you to come up here like this, I'm not necessarily inclined to help you at all.
I have a simple question for you, Mr. Bryce.
You can call Manhattan Institute and talk to them.
Right.
Because
your employer received $7 million from the fossil fuel industry.
You know, you guys made up that.
No. We have the 990 forms that show it.
Call me mine. I'm busy.
Mr. Bryce, I'm asking you a simple
question.
You haven't
introduced me yourself. You haven't given me your card.
I'm happy to give you my card. But, okay.
I
want to know.
You guys are attacking me personally, and I have no interest in talking to you. None. Zero.
Right.
So
but,
I'll see you. Bye.
But does the funding from the fossil fuel industry
here.
Influence?
Look, read what I've read. I mean, read what I've written. Read my books. Read Enron. Read my book on Enron.
Excuse me. Excuse me. You get a chance. Now let other people have the same.
Are you willing to disclose your ties to the fossil fuel industry when you write articles?
Excuse me. It's been disclosed. Look at the New York Times.
Every time you're in an article, it is not disclosed, sir.
Call MI.
I'm just, I'd like transparency.
Personally, and you guys have made up a bunch of stuff about me, and I would be ashamed to be what you guys are doing. You know, it's ridiculous.
We haven't made up anything. We have the tax forms from your organization.
Numbers and you published them, and
sir,
the guy at the New York Times, he didn't side with you, he sided with me, and said, you guys haven't released your information.
Who funds you? We released it.
It's not on your website, is it?
Well, it's not in any of the articles that you write. Checks and Balances Project.
Okay.
I asked him a simple question.
That's enough. Walk away. Try that one.
And he says, you should be ashamed, Gabe. Who should be ashamed here?
Well, you know, Mr. Bryce, he's a really good clean energy denier. And his work at the Manhattan Institute is partially funded by the fossil fuel industry. And his unwillingness to respond to my simple question shows that, you know, his value is in that he claims to be a free market ideologue, not a clean energy basher, which is what he is.
Clearly. And he seems to be saying, read my lips. We should read who's signing his checks. DR?
Right. Exactly. Gabe, I want to get your thoughts on this, because this is something that occurred to me even before listening to that clip, and it occurs to me once again that even before I became interested in, you know, the climate change thing, I was for renewable energy from a national security perspective, in the sense that, you know, once you understand the ties between terrorism and oil and oil dependency, I always figured that it made sense to get off oil to sort of steer away from fossil fuels. So when you have people like Robert Bryce who don't seem to understand that or who deny that, it occurs to me, I regard these people as sort of unpatriotic libertarians. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I really do see them as sort of the sort of people who I really view them as having, you know, forgotten 9/11 basically, and forgotten the connections between oil dependency and terrorism. And I don't know. I don't know if you wanted to weigh in on that, but it just occurred to me once again listening to that clip.
Well, yeah, I really believe that clean energy is an important part of our quest for energy security in the United States. And so we should be doing everything we can here to invest in clean energy. Not only will it help our energy security, but it'll improve our economic competitiveness, and it'll create jobs in this country. And we're already seeing that solar energy is the fastest growing industry in the United States. So, you know, these attacks on this industry are really, they're based in the fact that the people funding these attacks have economic interest in stopping the growth of renewable energy. They see it as a long-term economic threat, and fossil fuel interests like the Koch brothers and ExxonMobil and others are doing everything they can to stop it.
And long-term threats to humanity and the planet and future generations be damned.
Well, that's not their concern.
One has to wonder what kind of children and grandchildren they have. Some of these men are, and it's almost all men, actually, in the target group. What kind of children and grandchildren they have, and what are they telling them about their future? I would really love to be a fly on the wall for those conversations.
Yeah, you know, that's why a work like Checks and Balances Project is so important, because we want to have an honest energy debate in this country. And unfortunately, funding from these fossil fuel interests are holding us back from having an honest debate. And that's what our work is doing, is we're holding them accountable.
And I want to hear more about your work in Checks and Balances and how you got started in a moment, but just before we leave this particular scandal, you know, it is outrageous. I mean, first of all, there's enough of a challenge just, you know, with the technology to really ramp up, you know, renewable energy sources to make it scalable, wind and solar and geothermal, as if that's not challenging enough with everybody diverted with so many other problems that we face as a country and as a planet. And then to have the debate, as you say, continue, an honest debate, you know, with facts, based on facts, would be helpful, because then we can move past it. But this obfuscating, this, you know, deep-pocketed, well-funded, well-planned, sinister attempt to try to, you know, raise doubt about climate change and say renewable won't work and wind is a scam. It's so outrageous. We can so ill afford this kind of distraction, and yet they're intent on doing exactly what we feared they were not that evil to do, but I think you've kind of got the smoking gun here.
Well, there's definitely smoke, Betsy. You know, this national PR plan written by American Tradition Institute fellow John Droz is definitely smoke, that they are coordinating with these local efforts to attack clean energy. What we don't have is we don't have the budgets and the receipts going from these fossil fuel interests to fund this national plan. But we have seen evidence that it's already working. The editor of this national plan, John Droz, he bragged just last month that he was able to recruit Americans' prosperity to stop wind energy tax breaks from passing in Congress. And so he's already been successful in implementing this plan, and to what degree these local groups are involved is still in question. But we do know that this plan was talked about at the meeting, and that so far this network of anti-clean energy groups has been successful, at least on the national level.
Gabe, can you explain what Chris Horner's particular involvement in this project is? He is one of the spotter characters in the whole network of climate denial and clean energy denial.
So glad you brought him up, DR. My nemesis.
Yeah. Chris Horner is an interesting guy. He's a fellow at Competitive Enterprise Institute, and most recently he's joined the American Tradition Institute as their director of litigation. And what's so important about his role is that American Tradition Institute is on the front lines attacking renewable energy standards on the state level. In Colorado, they filed a lawsuit to stop the state from implementing a renewable energy standard. And in four other states, they've produced reports that use disinformation to attack those renewable energy laws, claiming that they're costly and they don't work and they're bad for the state. So Chris Horner's at the heart of one of these efforts by fossil fuel interests to attack clean energy on the state level. The other one that I mentioned was ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, whose members include pretty much every fossil fuel corporation that you can think of: Exxon, Shell, BP, Koch Industries, Duke Energy, Peabody Coal. All of these groups are a part of ALEC. And ALEC is pushing sample legislation. They actually just finished up their meeting this past weekend to stop renewable energy standards through state legislatures. So it's a multi-pronged approach to overturn renewable energy laws, and Chris Horner is, you know, spearheading one of the efforts through litigation.
Now, I don't know if you had a chance to check out some of my encounters with Chris Horner on the Hannity show on Fox. Had about a half dozen of them. I have to say he is an idiot. I'll not mince words here. I cannot believe that he continues to be paid very well to be out there as a spokesman. I mean, he is. I mean, the quote discussion degenerates so quickly. It's such a joke. I call him the smirk jerk because he always looks in the camera and just smirks. And for the last 2-3 years, I've been on with him, and you know, it's almost hard to stop from laughing. And yet, this is very serious damage that they're inflicting. Why does he continue to be their best front man?
You know, I don't know much about him, and I've never been able to speak with him in person. But I'm hoping that as we continue our work, I can hold him accountable, as we have Mr. Bryce.
So let's find out a little bit more about your great work at Checks and Balances. When did you start your operations, and how many do you have of you on the staff? And I really hope there's more of you, because you're really dogged in your pursuit of truth and justice, you know, on the most important front, as far as I'm concerned, and that's what's happening with our environment.
Yeah, well, the Checks and Balances is a 15-month-old watchdog group. We're a startup, and it's just me and my co-director, Matt Garrington, who's based in Colorado. His work focuses on Western energy and the development of public lands, and my work focuses on fossil fuel influence in Washington, D.C. and around the country.
You cover the fossil fuels. So people should be writing checks to Checks and Balances. It's two of you doing all this great work trying to cover all this.
Well, yeah, if if any of your listeners are interested in supporting our work, you can go to our website, checksandbalancesproject.org, and get in touch with me or Matt. And, we would love more support so that we can ramp up our efforts and have a real energy debate in this country.
DR?
Thank you so much for your efforts. But the one thing that strikes me is that do any of these people who are the anti-clean energy people, do any of these people believe in peak oil, or do they think that's a hoax too?
You know, I haven't asked any of them about their thoughts on peak oil, but what we do know is that the fossil fuels that we're using are getting more and more expensive and more costly and more extreme. You know, we're blowing up mountaintops to burn coal, and we're digging to the depths of the Gulf of Mexico to get oil. And I personally believe that there are better options out there. In the next couple of years, the majority of Americans will be able to get solar energy for $0 down, and they'll pay less on their electricity bills than they do now. So it's only a matter of time that clean energy starts to be adopted across the country by a majority of Americans. But these policies that are being attacked by fossil fuel interests would really help us get there faster, which is absolutely necessary in the face of climate change and all the other reasons, including the jobs that
And wouldn't it be wiser to do it before our backs are completely up against the wall?
Right.
I have to ask one more question, and you raise a very important point, which is clearly we are running out of fossil fuels. We wouldn't be digging way out where the Deepwater Horizon was and was destroyed. We wouldn't be fracking and contaminating water systems and seeing earthquakes and, trying to do all these devastating things to our environment. So why is that not clear that, gee, if we had the abundance that the oil and coal industry would say we have, and gas industry as well, we wouldn't be going farther out to try to get it ever more costly in terms of not only dollars but human lives?
Yeah, I think that's right. I'm hoping that clean energy companies will look at the efforts of groups like mine, the Checks and Balances Project, and realize that they need to ramp up their advocacy efforts, because the American public needs to hear from these companies, needs to hear about the jobs that are being created, and I think that message is starting to spread more and more.
Thank you so much, Gabe Elsner, for the work you do. We'll have you on again. Continue to dig, continue to be loud and as obnoxious as you can. Let's get those guys. Call them for what they are. They should be ashamed.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. And DR, thanks for joining me for this conversation. I think you have to go back to your day job. Thanks for being part of the conversation. When we come back, we're going to have Alec Lohrs on to tell us about his trip to Washington, D.C. last week. You'll not want to miss this one, I promise. Stay with us. You're listening to The Green Front.